everybody, and welcome back to this episode of Southern Onion Podcast. It's us, your favorite twins. I'm Erica.
And I'm Erin.
Yes, you are. And what are you going to say? Nothing?
I don't know.
Erin.
I know.
You started off with all that, and it was great. It was hilarious. I know. And you're letting me and our listeners down.
I know.
You have brought shame on this family.
I'm Erin with the good hair. How's that?
That's, you are.
We'll go back to the original. We'll go back to the original one. How's
that? You do have good hair, though. I just pull mine back in a ponytail. And we have kind of coarse, curly hair. So it doesn't matter how much product I put on my hair. I still get those frizzies. And it's so aggravating. So, and I've tried 15 different sprays, lotions, whatever, you know, it doesn't work. So, but we did see before we started recording today that Spotify is going to have where we can do a video podcast and put our podcast out on video and audio in the same recording. So, might be something we do. Then I will have to really fix my hair for these episodes. So we will see.
We'll see.
Thank you all so much for tuning in. We hope you have had a great week since we've last gotten to be together. To our returning listeners, thank you so much for all the support and the encouragement and kindness you all give to us every week. We thank you all so much. To our new listeners, welcome. We're so glad to have you here. We hope you enjoy it. Erin and I are fraternal twins. If you see pictures of us, it's obvious we do not look alike. We look like sisters, though. You know, just not identical. And we like to do this podcast because we love true crimes, and we take cases, and we give our opinions, and that's it.
That's it.
Really. Yeah. So, and we do it all with a Southern drawl. So,
that's right.
Oh, catchphrase.
I know. Right. Hurry.
Yes.
Trademark it. Hurry
now. Trademark. TM. We do it all with a Southern drawl.
So. That's right. Yes.
And we're still looking for sponsors. So Jan Arden, Canada, Little Debbie, whatever. You know, if you all are looking to sponsor two wholesome twins, we would love to.
Dunkin' Donuts.
Dunkin' Donuts. You know? Exactly. So
love them.
Exactly. So if you haven't already, please feel free to give us a follow on Instagram at Southern Onion Podcast. Hello to all of our new followers. I am usually the one in charge of the Instagram page. So if you want, send a DM and I'll return the message as quick as possible. Love to hear from you, how you're doing, what's going on. Thank you to those who are including us in your stories and sharing with your friends. It is greatly appreciated. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We cannot say that enough. DMs are open to anybody. And also, if you have a show idea, if you have a case that you want us to cover, we'll be glad to do it and give you a shout out for it. No problem. So I think that's kind of the business side of things. So
So
Erin, how's your week been? How's it been going since we last talked?
It's been good. Getting ready for Easter.
Yeah. Finding those Easter eggs.
I have an inflatable bunny on my porch.
Mm-hmm.
But the wind's been so bad that he like flies all over the place. So
it's a levitating bunny.
Yeah. So it's like, that's okay. You know, it's fine. The motor's about to go out of it too, I think. I know, but so I've been doing good. I got a new Skins I have a computer, and so I know Skins are kind of like, is that like from the 90s?
No, I think it's from the 2000s. I think we're kind of relevant. I mean, it shows you're taking something and making it your own and customizing it, so you're good.
Well, because I think that was a thing, but now it's not. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think it's as popular, I guess.
Okay. So I was learning all about that. So
I'm behind. Come to us for more how to stay in the cool kids corner with us. Because obviously we're there.
I'm just now catching up to, there's Skins for a computer. Oh, wow.
What?
So I've been learning all about that.
Yeah, it's got peacocks on it. And
it does.
It's very you. It's very girly.
Yes, very, very, very bright.
Very bright,
So that's what I've been doing. I've been, you know.
How's Maggie?
Hang around. Maggie's doing awesome.
Yeah.
I got to get her Easter basket ready, so.
Erin.
She does get an your pet. Her birthday is April 21st, by the way, so.
Well, happy early birthday, Maggie.
She will be four, yep. So.
Four? Oh, Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So.
And moody.
I got to get her Easter basket ready, so.
Well, excellent.
She's not spoiled.
No, yep, so. Not at all. Anymore. Have you been making any more swimsuits for her?
No, not yet. But
okay. For beer.
It's still early.
For beer companies. If you if you need to, you need to go back a few or go to our episodes or go on our Instagram page, and we have pictures of Maggie in her handmade swimsuit that you made for her, Erin. I mean, that was impressive.
Yeah.
I have to say.
Yeah. Well, and I'm hoping to get her back into pageants soon. So, so we'll see.
That's great.
Yeah. Erica's like. She does have a platform, by the way. I mean,
she
this
does?
Isn't all fun. Yeah.
Okay.
It's for homeless animals. So.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, she
I'm
has her platform.
That.
So, yeah.
Okay. Very good. Yes. Yeah. Erin and I love our animals. She's more dog person, and I'm a cat person. So, we balance each other out with that. But, yeah, if you can take care of animals or donate to your local shelter. Food supplies or even donations so that people who capture feral animals can get them fixed and released back out to try to control the overpopulation of stray animals. So,
and any pageant winnings that she's made, we do donate. So,
oh, that's cool.
I mean, she won like a puppy starter package. We donated that. You know, we donated stuff. So,
you should like make an Instagram page for Maggie.
I should. Yeah.
I bet you'd have followers.
I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. We'll think about it.
Future
She's
plans.
Private. She's pretty private, you know. And
yeah,
you know.
She is. Yes, Maggie likes her
privacy.
Her privacy.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Hey, she met Mom and Dad's new puppy, and she was very unhappy.
She was not impressed with puppy sister Zoe. No,
no.
She was not.
Not at all. So, yeah.
I don't blame her though. Zoe's a lot of hyperactivity, and Maggie's
a refined puppy.
Absolutely. So
yes, definitely. So yep. So how's your week
been?
Well,
very good. Week has been good. I'm actually now not traveling for work, so that was weird. So this was the first week I didn't travel for work. I just went to the same clinic, and will continue to do so now. So that's fun. And I have a great, a wonderful group of coworkers that I absolutely consider friends and family. So it's so nice to get to see them and be with them 5 days a week, and sometimes get to see them outside of work. I went to a place, I think I talked about it last episode, Token, where it had the board games and pinball machines and stuff. That was so cool.
That is cool.
But yeah, so I'm just really playing a lot of Animal Crossings. on my Nintendo
Switch.
Nothing wrong
with that,
Nope, I love it. I finally got that KK character to come and perform at my island. So, for those who play it, you understand that's a lot of hours put into that game for it to happen. So, yay! I was very happy with that. But yeah, so that's about it. Going on the grind. I've got a couple of things coming up in the next couple of weeks. And, you know, just exciting things, fun things to do. But yeah, and the cats are all good. Can't complain. I never have to worry about freezing. I will say that.
That's good. Yeah.
They are just portable little heaters.
Aww.
My Lord. The heat they emit off of themselves. It's goodness.
Yeah.
But anyway. But yes, so we're doing great, and we hope you all are doing great as well. Also, I've noticed, and I didn't mention this to you, Erin, if you listen to us on Spotify, first of all, thank you. Spotify now has a rating system on there. So right under the description of our podcast, it's like on the left side, it was for me, you can hit on a little star and give us a rating. So if you really like us, go out there, give us a 5-star rating. We greatly appreciate it. That and Apple Podcasts as well. Ratings help. And if you don't like us and don't want to give us a good rating, why are you listening? It's okay. We're not for everybody, and everybody's not for us. And there's nothing wrong with that ever in any situation. So, all right. So one thing I wanted to bring up before we get into this week's episode is it's really been bothering me. Is the Brittany Griner case. And Brittany Griner, for those who don't know, she is a professional basketball player, women's basketball player. She plays in the WNBA here in the United States, but on the off season goes overseas to play to get supplemental income, because in the United States here in the WNBA, which is backed by the NBA, the women's players make substantially less than what the men's NBA, National Basketball Association, makes. Wow. You can have a NBA player sitting on the bench, and they might play in a few games, a few minutes here and there, and they're making $500,000, $1 million a year, being a backup, being a utility player, if you will. The stars of the WNBA, Brittany Griner, Candace Parker, Sue Bird, those players, they're maybe making $250,000. Maybe.
Wow.
It's atrocious.
Yeah,
and
it is.
So to supplement, they go overseas. Well, Brittany Griner was going into Russia. She was detained because she had brought over with her, my understanding, what's coming out in reports is it was a suspicious substance, which more than likely it was something to do with vape pens. I don't know if it had THC, marijuana, or any, but you can't bring that into Russia. Okay.
Right.
Fine.
Right. Okay.
I have been to another country. You've got to know the other country's laws and abide by them, because that is their country. So
right.
You make sure you're staying within the legal side of things. But she has been detained since February. She is still detained. Wow. She has not been released. And with this, with these charges in Russia, it can lead up to 10 years of imprisonment.
Ugh.
10 years for having that in her bag, on her person, going into Russia. And there's been, like, very little coverage about it.
Yeah, now, you're right.
Brittany Griner is a black woman. So I cannot help but feel and think and know.
Right. Right.
It is because, and she also identifies with the queer community. So, so now, two strikes against you. You're black and you're queer, and you're playing overseas and in Russia, and it just feels like the government is doing nothing to help get her back home.
Right. I agree.
And I just want to put a spotlight on that, because the silence from this story, like, there's still nothing to be updated. We're in April. We're going on almost 2 months. And it was almost a month before it was even brought to the news outlets in America. She's been there. I couldn't imagine what she's thinking right now and how scared she is.
Oh, I'd be petrified.
To be in another country and detained. And
I'd be petrified.
You're waiting on help from your country and... from all I can tell is they're moving either very slow or getting crickets. So sending out love and good vibes and support to Brittany Griner, and come on, we have got to do better and help citizens. I don't care.
Right.
It does not matter if you agree with the lifestyle or, you know, but don't punish her because she's black, because she identifies as queer, because she's in it, the country happens to be Russia. I mean, just come on. We've got to do better as a country and take care of people. So I just wanted to bring a spotlight to that, because again, it's such a huge injustice. There's no reason, because I can't help but feel if it was a different person, they would have been, it wouldn't have been 2 days and they would have been out of Russia and back home. Can't help but feel that way. So
it's really sad.
That's the case that I wanted to bring up to put a spotlight on things. So
yeah, that's really sad.
It is. So if anybody has updates, or you know, I've been scouring the news media as much as I can, just to get updates on that. So it's sad. It's just sad. Okay. So this week, we're getting into a topic. I have professed my love for the country of Canada a lot.
Yes.
I love Canada. Canada, I hope you love me back.
And did you know that, remember the show Degrassi?
Oh, yeah, Degrassi Junior High. Yeah, it's a Canadian show.
And Degrassi Next Generation is Canadian, yes. Mm-hmm. So
And for a reminder, that's where Drake, he was in that, for that musician Drake. He was a actor in that series as well.
Yes, so, he was.
Mm-hmm. I remember Drake.
Yes.
Every time I see him, that's all I think. I'm like, he was on Degrassi.
I know him as Jimmy Brooks, a.k.a. Aubrey.
Mm-hmm.
Aubrey Graham, was that his last name, I think? Yeah.
I think so, yeah. 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 So, but yeah, there's been a lot, again, Celine Dion, Jan Arden.
A lot of actors and actresses come from Canada.
Absolutely. Ryan Reynolds.
And a lot of shows are filmed in Canada.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, my big love was The Good Witch and Catherine Bell, shout out. And I didn't realize it was filmed up in Canada as well, and a lot of Hallmark movies and shows are filmed up in Canada. And I think, I don't...
Cause like Aurora Tea Garden.
Yeah, it's just beautiful scenery there. And, you know, so when
they're
I watched...
Beautiful.
Yeah, and I really miss The Good Witch. And Hallmark, cannot believe you canceled that show anyway.
I know, yeah.
Oh, I haven't watched Hallmark since. I'm not kidding either, so... okay, so enough about me and what I watch on TV. Let's get into this onion that we have today. Okay. It is the, again, it's in Canada, sets in Canada. It's called The Highway of Tears. And The Highway of Tears, it really is, it's just sad. What it is a 725 kilometers. And for those of us Americans not on the metric system,
I don't know
what it is. It's 450 miles of highway.
There you go.
So don't worry, I got it. It's on Highway 16. It's between Prince George and Prince Rupert, British Columbia, Canada. Now, it has been the location of many missing and murdered Indigenous women beginning in 1970. Now, there's a lot of reports out there. Some are saying, oh, there's only 4 victims. Some are saying between 18 and 40, and others are upwards of 1,000.
Wow.
There is a book out there by Jessica McDiarmid, and I hope I said that right. It's McDiarmid, Jessica McDiarmid, and it's called Highway of Tears, a true story of racism, indifference, and the pursuit of justice for missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls. So, how did it get its name, Highway of Tears? The phrase was coined in 1998 by Florence Narrell, who was thinking of the victim's family crying over those. Of the loved ones, crying over the loved ones in that stretch of highway. Because 450 miles, that's a lot. I mean,
yeah,
that's like maybe, oh, I'm going to show my ignorance here, that maybe the length of several states in the United States is probably less than 450 miles across. But... Canada, and what I love about Canada is the scenery, and there's a lot of country in Canada, and by country I mean it's not all cities, it's not all little towns. There's a lot of rural, hard word for me, rural areas, R-U-R-A-L, rural areas. Can't think about the word. So they're like, well, why are so many of this, murders happening on this road? And you can't help but think of small little towns that you know of, that Aaron, you and I know of.
Oh,
yeah. They're usually stricken with poverty. That's why they're little towns. They don't grow because money is not being filtered into these places. There's not the population. These are generational people who just don't get the government assistance. The jobs are not there. They just don't have the means that you do if you live in a bigger city or a bigger town. So why is it that there's so many unsolved cases around this 450-mile stretch of road? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, like we said, there's poverty. You know, a lot of that highway is just, you know, a few houses here, a few houses there. There's drug abuse in those areas, unfortunately. Domestic violence, disconnect with traditional culture. and a disruption of family through the foster care system and the Canadian Indian residential school system. So when we're talking about this area, it is a lot of Native, what we would call Native Americans here in America. It's the first generation settlers there in Canada. So these are people that this is their homeland. This is their, you know, it's not a reservation, if you will, like what we have, horribly have here in the United States. But with that, they're not getting the support. They're not getting the funding. They're living out miles and miles from cities. So poverty, what's one thing you think of poverty is you can't afford a lot of things. So a lot of the people who live on this stretch of highway, they have no car. So, you know, and with the size of Canada, that means to get to school, to get to work, for medical treatment, if you don't have a car and you're the place you got to get to is 30 miles away, what are you doing? You're hitchhiking.
Right, right.
Because how else are you going to get to anywhere?
Well, you can't Uber it, right? I mean, really, you can't. There's no way of doing anything like that,
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, you get people who will pick up hitchhikers who don't have the best intention for those hitchhikers. They're just trying to get to work. They're trying to get to their doctor's visits or school.
Right.
And with the area, it's isolated and remote. So, you know how we live in cities where there's traffic cameras, there's... businesses that have cameras outside their establishments that look across the street. So if something happens, there's going to be a camera that catches it. Well, in these remote areas, there's no cameras, you know, to catch anything, not even a traffic camera. So, and also too, I mean, you've got to think when you're out in remote areas, as we know, growing up in the hills of Tennessee, you've got a lot of scavengers, a lot of animals. You know, there's bears, there's, you know, coyotes, there's all these other animals that are considered predatory animals that, you know, given on the right day and their hunger, humans look like, hey, you know, we're going to attack you. So when people are committing these crimes, how could they not feel safe? It's isolated. It's remote. So, yeah, I'm going to drive up and down this 450-mile stretch picking up people because who's going to catch me? There aren't cars for, you know, 20 minutes. You won't pass another car for so many minutes. So you feel like, okay, this is a good area to carry out these horrific crimes. You know, nobody's watching. And but I did get I did see an update as of 2017. So we're talking, what, 5 years ago, and all these crimes started happening back in 1970. So just in the last 5 years that they have finally started to add public transportation to the area.
Wow.
I mean, that's how, but why? Why does it take so long? Because if these murders are happening starting in 1970, you're telling me for 50 years, nobody's cared. I mean, because that's what it—that's what's happened.
Or nobody thought, hey, let's get a petition going to...
Let's protect these people. Know, these are these are native to this area. These are people who deserve to be protected. Right. You know, why are we not... Right. Why is the royal police not out there patrolling more?
Yeah,
I mean, granted, it's 450 miles, but, you know, why is the funding not being sent to protect these people? Because they're minorities, right? So now you've got discrimination that's brought in, which I feel, after reading and looking at everything, that's what I feel it is. It's absolutely discrimination against this population of people, against the indigenous women in particular. Now, in 2015, the Canadian's president, Justin Trudeau, he did budget $30 million for a national inquiry as into why are these crimes happening? Who is doing this? What is happening? the best that I could see that was that was being found out was truck drivers were picking up these people, these women, and in some cases kids. I mean, there was a 12-year-old is one of the victims out here. And I think the oldest I could find was like 70, 71. I think you saw that.
I think so, yeah.
As well. So, I mean, just a huge range. So, it's just opportunity. Oh, I'm going to pick them up. And some bodies have been recovered. The case we're getting ready to go over, her body has still not been found. And she has been gone since 2008. Mm-hmm. But there's not been a huge push from the police to find her either. Or to investigate what has gone on, what has happened, why did this child, she was days away from turning 18, she left a note, and she's never seen from again. There's nothing. And her name is Jennifer Catchaway. She, again, just days away from turning 18 in 2008, she left a note for her parents to say she was going to go walk over to her cousin's house. And that if they would just put her ice cream in the freezer and she would eat it when she got home. And that was the note that was left. So, nothing out of the ordinary. She was just like, hey, I'm going over to my cousin's. I'll see y'all in a little bit. Because she knew they were bringing back ice cream from a trip. And she would just eat it when she got home. I mean, and then she's never seen or heard from again. Mm. She walked away. She never came back. Her parents, Wilfred and Bernice, they do fundraisers every year. They'll do like barbecues to get the community involved and to raise money to help with search efforts because they're not getting the help from the police to find Jennifer. Yeah. So, yeah, Canada notoriously have harsher winters. A lot of snow, so I mean, you really can't search in the winter months. So there's about a 4-month period that the weather's good enough, the snow's gone, that they can go and search. So they collect tips, they do their research for where they think Jennifer might be or where her remains might be. And then as the weather gets warmer, they have the fundraisers, they get people out in the community to help to search for her. So they've been doing this since 2008. Now, because of the pandemic in 2020, they had to do the fundraising online, and they the barbecue was limited to just family members, obviously, because of the pandemic. But I could not imagine being parents and having to search for your own child because the police are like, who knows? She was a teenager. She probably got into the city and got blinded by the flashing lights, and she ran off and just doesn't want to be found.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know. So, before we get more into Jennifer's case, there was one case I want to touch on real quick. Tina Fontaine. She was 15. Mm-hmm. Now, Tina was murdered. And it all came to national, her case is what brought all this to national attention, is what I should say. Tina was described as happy. She was doing great in school. She was excited to continue her education, go to university. And Tina had been living with her her aunt, her great aunt, Thelma Flavel. And I'm sure I said that wrong again. Apologies. And Thelma took care of Tina. So because Tina had been doing so well in school, she'd been a good teenager. She hadn't been giving any problems. She was rewarded by her her great aunt, that she got to go see her mom in Winnipeg. So, because she hadn't seen her mother. And so, Thelma was like, you've been doing great. School's going great. Why don't you go visit your mom for a month and, you know, enjoy spending time with her. So, before Tina went missing, so she made it to Winnipeg. Before she went missing, Tina was stopped by police. She appeared to be intoxicated, and they still let her go. Oh, and wow. She's 15, and I 15. Saw pictures. Yeah, mm-hmm. And I saw pictures. Now, Tina did look younger than 15, but from my understanding, public intoxication, even in Canada, at that age, is still a crime. So why would they stop her? And the police were like, we stopped her. She did appear drunk, but we just figured she was out with friends, just having a good time, even though she was by herself. So wow. Something was happening. So that makes me think whoever did this was with her and just kind of slipped into the background when police mm-hmm. walked up to her. Right. So still don't know why they let her go, why the police let her go. But it was a bit later that she was recovered in the river. Her body was recovered in the river. And there was a guy, Raymond Joseph Cromier, who was suspected of killing her, but he was acquitted, from what I could tell, because they couldn't tie any evidence to him. Mm-hmm. But I think it was because of her age, because police had stopped her, and then because her body was recovered in the river, that's what brought this to national attention. Here's an Indigenous girl that was murdered, and the police really could have saved her life had they not let her go. Yep. And so then the light was brought back on. Well, why is it the police are seeing these Indigenous kids, especially females, and see them out in public, and they're intoxicated, or they're, you know, they don't appear to be keeping themselves safe. They're participating mm-hmm. in high risk activities, prostitution, hitchhiking, drunk in public, and the police just let them go. Meh, they're stereotyping.
Right. You know? I mean, a 15-year-old girl drinking, I don't know what the legal drinking age is in Canada. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Here in America, it's 21.
Right. Yeah.
But I don't know for certain. But at any rate, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. She was intoxicated.
Right.
And for them to just say, that's okay, just go ahead and go on. Mm-hmm. It makes you think it's because of her nationality. Yeah. I mean, that just, you know, I don't.
Yeah, it looks like that's the horrible. Legal age. Most provinces, most provinces have a minimum age of 19 years, while Alberta, Manitoba, oh my God, I said that wrong, I'm sorry, and Quebec, the minimum age is 18 years, so.
Right, so I mean, at any rate, she was drinking illegally.
Mm-hmm, yeah, and they let her go, and it's like, okay, was she let go just because she's Indigenous? Because they knew she was Indigenous, and they've stereotyped. Just like here in America, if you see a black person just walking across the street, well, they must be up to something. Let's stop and pull them over and see what's happening here. So they see an Indigenous person drunk and they're, she's drunk. That's what they do. They.
Right. Yeah. That's exactly what sounds like is going on here.
Yeah. So that happened with Tina. There's no
protection for them.
Absolutely none. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So why are they going to investigate their murders? You know.
Well, I mean, what do they care? If we're not protecting them, then. Yeah exactly.
Yeah. So here's where Jennifer ties into this. So Jennifer was also seen drunk in public, and the police let her go. And so there's obvious profiling by the police that Indigenous people are drunks or prostitutes. That even the police, and a couple of things I watched, and you know, you go to YouTube and you look up Highway of Tears, there's a lot of things to watch. Even the representatives for the police are saying, oh yeah, they get caught up, they come to a big city and they just get caught up by the lights and all the commotion, and they usually go and just have too much and they get drunk. And you know, so let's say that does happen, fine, but is that still a good reason to let a 17 and 15 year old go who appear to be intoxicated in public? No.
Right. No,
because you know, if we were 15 and we were out walking, police would keep us, they would put us in the squad car and either take us home or to a holding cell and call our parents, period. Why?
Exactly.
Because we're white. That's why.
Right. Yeah.
Because we have that privilege. Because police will see us and go, oh, you girls, you shouldn't be doing that. You could get in trouble. You could get hurt that way. Let's go. Right. But you see a black person, indigenous person, and they're like, meh, that's what they do. And just go on.
And this is why you hear about mothers who are afraid to send their children out in public because they do not know if their child is going to come home alive.
Exactly. All because of just being who they are, the color of their skin.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that is heartbreaking.
Yep.
Because there's no reason for it. That's society we live in. There's no reason for it. It's not fair. If we get protection, they should have protection too. Everybody should have protection, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
If, you know, and that's sad. That is sad to think that they just let them go.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Because
had
now,
they
kept
them and called the parents or whatever, it would have, they would be living.
They would, more than likely, they'd still be alive today, especially these two cases.
Yeah.
You know, well, shoot, you even go back to.
And there's. And there's people that prey on indigenous people.
Yeah, cause because they know it's not going to be investigated.
Police, there you go. The police aren't going to do anything. It's like, they let a 15-year-old girl who's been drinking go. I mean,
what do they
care?
You
hear about that all the time. Yeah, you hear about it all the time. They get preyed upon.
All because of who they are. Nothing more than that.
Right. Yes,
they know more how to say and how they were born, to what nationality that they were born, than we did.
That's right. Exactly.
Than anybody did.
Right. Right.
And that's what burns me. So you see this profiling happening, especially on this Highway of Tears. So so people have taken it on themselves, especially in Winnipeg. So they have a patrol. It's called Bear Claw Patrol, to try and help find missing women that they think have disappeared or got hitchhiked up to Winnipeg and have gotten into sex trafficking, or, you know, just they want to get back home and can't because of poverty, no funding. If you don't have money, how do you make money? Usually you're selling yourself, you know, through prostitution or through other high-risk activities, and it just usually is a vicious cycle that's very hard to get out of. So Winnipeg has a what's called a Bear Claw Patrol, and they're trying to find the missing women, and they even check in on women who are alone. And one of the documentaries I watched, there was even a sex worker that they came and checked on. And because they knew that sometimes men would come in, pay for services, but then they would still beat them, rape them, you know, all these terrible acts just because they're indigenous. So
that's right.
This group makes themselves known, especially in the evening. Hey, we're here. If there's any funny business, we're going to handle you. We're going to take care of it until the police can get here. So it helps deter it. They're helping protect the women. The women who should be protected by the country are being protected by these good citizens because they know that's what you do. That's what should be done.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So they feel that, and a lot of these from the Bear Claw Patrol, they are from the First Nation reserves. Is who's helping with this. They also feel, as I do, they feel the police are not investigating properly. They just push it aside because they have profiled them. They have decided, the police, the royal police have decided, if we see an indigenous, a First Nation person out and they're drunk, that's just what they are. Bye. And that's it. They don't care. They don't investigate. They don't do. Now, is that in their training? Is that just, is it like where a lot of places, it's society? Oh, well, they're that's what they do, la, 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 and go on about your day. Where if you see me out alone and intoxicated, I'm sure people would stop and check on me just because I'm white. You know?
Yeah.
And that's terrible.
It is.
And it wasn't it wasn't until 2015 that Canada, as a national law, and again, 2015, so just 7 years ago, said that it was illegal to buy sex. So it was the person who was paying for the services who is going to be charged, what we call the Johns. They're the ones who get arrested now instead of the prostitutes, because it used to be the prostitutes. Oh, you're the one doing wrong. Let's arrest you. Let's charge you. instead of the person paying for the services. So it's been a, and you know, there's so many cases to touch on, and Jennifer was just one that, Jennifer and Tina were one where I found, oh my gosh, here they got tied in together. Now, Tina's body was found rather quickly, unfortunately, out of a river. Jennifer's body, as to date, has still not been recovered. Wow. Her family is still searching. And, you know, they're asking, they're just like, somebody knows where she is, where her remains are. Just leave a note somewhere. Just tell us. Just, we want to give her that proper burial. And I cannot imagine. She disappeared in 2008, and there is still no closure. And very minimal police effort. Even though it's been brought to national attention, to worldwide attention, and still very, very little is being done. And it's from the profiling. It's from the racism. It's from, you know, everything. Because, again, they didn't, they don't have public transportation in a lot of these places on this Highway of Tears until 2017. But even then, what do you have to do when you get public transportation? You have to pay for it. So how are we helping? Is, you know, so I think just with what I have watched and read, there has to be in the hundreds of victims. But some of these women and children could have been runaways that no one has cared to say, oh, they're missing. Or they walked off and that they haven't been found. There's no telling. But until light is shined upon that, until the police effort, until we can get more funding, especially, you know, from the country to say, hey, this isn't right. Stop, you know, we've got to give these women and children the justice that they deserve into finding out what has happened, why is it happening. But it's just, it's so scary.
It is.
To think about. You're just trying to get to school. And somebody decides. So there's no telling how many. If it's one killer, if it's multiple killers, and they probably have multiple victims that we'll never even know about. Because, again, you're on that isolated part of the highway. Animals can come and, you know, do what animals do.
That's right,
And the remains will never be found. But it was just so sad to see her mom, Jennifer's mom and dad on there. And they're just like, you know, and they have their search vests on where they've had to ride it, and no police around. They're just doing it on their own. And people who have construction equipment digging up certain places in the earth, and they're having to sift through the soil themselves, hoping that they find a remain of their daughter.
Wow.
That's pitiful.
Yeah.
But again, it's racism, indifference. You know, they just don't care. So that's why we wanted to shine a light on it with our little podcast, hoping that, you know, somebody else might know something or can add to it. We'd like to have a conversation about it.
Definitely, yeah.
Because it's right, too many types of people, especially minorities, are having to walk around and fearing for their lives just because they're a minority. That's it. They've done nothing else than be a minority. And that's tragic. We are in 2022, and it's still like society goes, oh, we're going to care about this group of people. Those other group, well, yeah, it sucks that's happening, but that's what happens. We're going to keep this group safe. And it should be, we keep everybody safe.
Exactly. Yes.
Equally.
Yes, absolutely.
So that's what did. Now, did you have anything you wanted to add? I know I kind of overtook this one.
No, you're good. I mean, you know, very well touched on how, you know, this is just, it's happening everywhere. I think a lot of times we think it happens in the United States. Oh no, it's happening everywhere.
Oh yeah.
And
gross.
I had a friend here in the States that when I was going to college, that she actually came from the reservation.
Okay.
And she told me when she was 18 that they decide, do you stay at the reservation or do you go out? mm-hmm. and go to school. Mm-hmm. And she chose to go to school because she told me, well, I didn't want to starve to death on the reservation.
Yeah.
But she said that it was a big shock to come out away from the reservation and how yeah. everything is so different. And mm-hmm. it is.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, it's a big, scary world out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, and luckily she adjusted very well and things like that. But, good. You know, it's that too. It's that trusting factor. It's that, oh, I'm just going to run down to the store and that guy mm-hmm. looks okay. And I mean, how many times have we run into people that have wanted to help push our cart?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Or, you know, it's like, hey, you know, I'll help you do this or help you do that. You're sitting there going, is this person getting ready to do something to me? I mm-hmm. mean.
Right.
And I hate that we live in that kind of world.
Mm-hmm. And we do, and so, especially mm-hmm. as females.
Yeah.
You know, I can't remember the saying off the top of my head, but to women, all males pose as a threat.
Mm-hmm.
But to a man, they might know, oh, well, I'm not a threat. I'm nice. I'm a good person. Well, that's you, right. and you know that. I don't know that. I don't know right. that about right. you. If I walked right. past 10 guys, you better believe 10 strangers, not people I mm-hmm. know, but 10 guys right. that I didn't know, you better believe I'm heightened. My senses are heightened. I'm thinking, can I put a key in between my fingers? You have to get in this defense right. mode because they all 10 could be predators.
Mm-hmm.
You've got, and you know, we're not going to go male bashing here, but, you know,
no.
it's something guys need to be considerate right. of. Don't come up to right. me and approach me and get in my bubble if I don't know you. Don't.
Because... Well, and I think we try to be too trusting.
Mm-hmm.
Or we try to give people a chance. You know, they say, mm-hmm. oh, give them a chance and all this. And uh-uh. and sometimes it works out fine. And then other times it just doesn't.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, you know? Exactly. So just...
You have to have your head on a swivel. You right. know?
Exactly. And I have friends yeah. Who they say, oh, if I see, if it's me and another woman and we're walking down the sidewalk at the same time, I'll cross the road so she knows I'm not a threat. Like, I'll remove yeah. myself from her pathway so she knows, hey, I'm not, you know,
right. not instead of, right.
You know, walk past her. So there are guys out there, plenty of guys, I'm not, you know, that are out there right, that right. are. But yeah, it's just women, we have to be more careful. But then again, we're privileged. We're white.
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
But for indigenous, the you know, the Lord, I'm forgetting my names here. For the First Nations, for black right. people, they're so much at a higher risk of having things happen. And we have to do better as a society. Yes, it right. can start with us, but then we need to spread it out, too, and not just be against racism. We have to be anti-racism. You've got
right.
none of it's okay, period. None of it. So hopefully this gave everybody some information on this highway right. of tears yeah. and what's going on and how tragic it is and how we've got to do better. Police have got to do better. And our thoughts and prayers are with those families of those victims and those still missing, and that it's never been solved, you know. So we just wanted to touch light on that. So that'll be all the peeling of that onion for now. This is definitely a conversation we're going to come back to. This is what we wanted to fit in on this one episode. Again, we'll be talking about it more in future episodes. So our next episode, if anyone is watching,
Thing about Pam.
The thing about Pam. I was like, the truth about Pam. Yes. I'm like, that is not right.
Yeah. So
so this is a NBC show that is mm-hmm. starring Renee Zellweger in it. Yes. And it's actually based on a true story of Pamela Hupp, H-U-P. P,
yes,
I said PP, and
yes, you
and do. so that is the case we will mm-hmm. be touching on for next week. So
yes,
it's going to be exciting because I actually do not mm-hmm. know much about this. So
okay, I've got I do. I've been watching it, so
I've got some TV to catch up on.
Yeah, You definitely do.
All right. Well, again, everyone, thank you. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for your encouragement and for spreading the word about our podcast. We really, really appreciate it. Again, if you haven't already, follow us on Instagram, Southern Onion Podcast. DMs are open. Feel free to say hi. If you got a question or a topic you'd like for us to cover, we will be happy to do that. And until next time, take care, stay safe, and keep peeling back those layers of true crime. Bye, Erin.
Bye, Erica.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.